Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, A Heart of Wisdom, the story of Dr. Bela Schick, was written by Joseph Mindell.
Sorry, gentlemen, I'm late. I came from the hospital. It's in Brooklyn, you know. We will begin today's lecture with the... Well, I have said something?
Today is your birthday, Doctor.
Today? Yes, that's right, today.
Your 80th birthday.
If you begin to count, then maybe people will think it's time he stopped lecturing. Enough teaching.
No. I only want to say from the medical faculty and the staff...
And the medical students...
Congratulations and many happy returns.
It is good to be remembered. I thank you very much. I will tell you something. I never want to stop teaching. You must not think that I do not understand. You applaud my gray hair.
It is written, Thou shalt rise up before the gray head and honor the face of the sage. But I also remember the psalm, Teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom. I say the words, and I know that the heart also needs instruction. And I know, too, it is a good thing to be of a generation that can find even one man with the gift of teaching. Therefore, I will tell you of Bela Schick, physician and teacher. I saw Bela Schick for the first time when he came to America in 1923 to be director of pediatrics at Mount Sinai Hospital. It was the day he was taken on a tour of the wards and laboratories.
This is Dr. Freeman, one of our newer resident physicians. Now, doctor, if you'll come this way.
Welcome to Mount Sinai, Dr. Schick.
Thank you. We have interrupted your experiment.
No, but I thought you might be interested in seeing...
Freeman is an industrious young man. His work may have promise, but on the other hand, it may very well turn out to be useless. We're going next to the pathology laboratory, Dr.
You were
Schick.
Going to tell me what you're working on, Dr. Freeman.
On the sensitivity of some infants to milk protein.
So, and what have you found out?
Dr. Schick, if you'll come with me now...
Where is it?
Where is what?
The pathology laboratory.
Oh, yes, on the next floor at the end of the corridor.
Good, you go ahead. I will be there.
But after all, Dr. Schick, you...
I want to know what Dr. Freeman has found. After all, should I not take advantage if I have the opportunity to learn?
A teacher must also learn. Of all that a doctor must know, the most painful lesson is that life is a tender thing and easy to be distempered. Bela Schick learned it more than 50 years ago, when the distempers of life were many and children were the most susceptible. In any hospital, he could swab a child's throat.
Open your mouth, clenching. It will not hurt much, I promise you.
And grow a culture in a petri dish and place a drop under the microscope and see the tiny swarming shapes, the multiplying rods of anguish.
Bacillus diphtheriae.
50 years ago, the shadow of Bacillus diphtheriae hovered darkly at the bedside of every child.
She complains of soreness of the throat. Maybe I should not have called you, doctor. I suppose it's not serious, only she seems so tired.
The early symptoms are comparatively minor. Chilliness, depression, a slight feeling of uneasiness in the throat.
Her throat is red and swollen, doctor. I can see it myself. She says it hurts her to swallow.
The infection of the throat spreads quickly. The characteristic exudation appears on the inflamed surface as grayish-white specks or patches, increasing in extent and thickness until a yellowish false membrane is formed that may cover the back of the throat and extend downward into the air passage.
She's struggling to breathe. Oh, help her, doctor. Help her.
The pulse becomes weak and rapid, the countenance pale. The false membrane covers the air passage, giving rise to asphyxia.
Doctor! The poor little girl.
The serum was not effective, Dr. Schick.
I was called too late.
You did what you could. That is all any of us can do. You must not blame yourself.
I am not concerned with my feelings, Doctor. A child is dead.
My dear Sheik, I'm only trying to help.
We have a serum, an antitoxin for diphtheria, yet thousands of children will be victims.
If you will permit me to say so, you are very young.
What has that got to do with it?
I have practiced medicine for more years than you have lived. I've seen so many sick children, so many. I have helped some to recover, but each one who does not recover... Sheik, I do not have to tell you it is not an easy thing to stand by helplessly.
But we are not helpless.
You must accept the facts. Diphtheria will be with us for a long time to come.
The antitoxin produces immunity. In principle, it can wipe out the disease.
In principle. Sometimes a doctor must choose between helping his patients and making theories. Now, be practical. You would have to inject every child of every family in every school with antitoxin. It's simply not possible.
No, not every child, Doctor. Only those who are susceptible to the disease, perhaps less than half.
Yes, I know. I've read your paper in the medical journal. But how do you determine susceptibility? By a laboratory method more complicated and more expensive than injecting all the children. No, my dear Sheik, a much simpler method is necessary.
You are right.
Of course I'm right. You mustn't take it so hard. Sheik, you are not listening.
You said a doctor must choose.
Ah.
I do not think so. A doctor must accept facts, yes. But he must also believe.
Believe what?
Something more than present facts.
I don't know what you mean.
It is within the power of civilized man to cause infectious diseases to disappear from the earth.
The words have a familiar ring.
Yes, they were said by Louis Pasteur.
Oh, of course. I must have seen them hanging in the laboratory where you work, you and your friend Clemens von Pirquet.
No, we do not have to write those words down. We believe them, Pirquet and I. Clemens, that boy, August, he is developing an edematous area around the site of the injection. And his fever is up. I wonder...
So what... do I, Bela. I wonder how far the metabolic balance of the body can be upset before it collapses.
Hmm? What are you talking about?
When did you eat today? And what?
That.
Yes, that. You work a full day at the hospital as a volunteer.
That's the first step to an assistantship.
Of course, but you don't get paid. And then you work half the night here in the laboratory. What did you eat today, Bella?
Now, Clement.
I will tell you. Coffee and a roll for breakfast. A sandwich for lunch. And who knows what, if anything, in the evening.
Well, do I look as if I am collapsing?
And I am the staff of the hospital. Dummkopf that I am. I keep forgetting to take you to lunch in the hospital dining room. Tomorrow I will not forget. Bela, I embarrass you and myself as well. But I am concerned.
I know, Clemens. It's a question of simple mathematics. When you divide the money I have for each month by 30 days, it comes out coffee and bread, not eggs and cheese. But I am healthy and strong, Clemens, believe me. Now, about that boy, August. He is recovering from scarlet fever because of the serum.
Oh, that's good.
But he is showing the symptoms of serum sickness. Now, don't you see?
I don't remember the chronology. Wait. You said he had the second injection of serum today.
Yes, at noon.
A few weeks ago, when he had the first injection, he took 9 days to react with the symptoms of serum sickness.
And with the second injection, he reacted in a few hours.
But the serum was the same in both cases.
Therefore, it was the human body that was changed by the first injection of foreign matter, the serum.
This confirms what we expected, Bela. We can almost formulate a theory.
Almost, Clemens. But first, a few more observations, a few more experiments, just to be sure.
A few more, that is to say, a dozen, a hundred more a case. Experiments meticulously planned, carefully observed, cautiously interpreted, until they were sure. In 1905, they published their book, Serum Sickness.
By previous exposure, the body becomes highly sensitive to the foreign proteins of disease germs found in the serum.
Many symptoms commonly associated with scarlet fever, diphtheria, and other infectious diseases are in actuality symptoms of serum sickness.
Like the body's resistance to infectious microbes, serum sickness is the result of the reaction between antibodies and antigens.
That is, the natural process of immunity to disease is similar to the mechanism of serum sickness.
The body reacts in the same manner to other foreign proteins, such as those in pollen, in the leaves of certain plants, and in common food.
This condition of heightened sensitivity to foreign proteins we call allergy.
The year was 1905. The patch test for susceptibility to tuberculosis is based on their work. The Schick test for diphtheria, the present understanding of allergic reactions, of the nature of immunity to infectious diseases, scarlet fever, diphtheria, poliomyelitis.
It is within the power of civilized man to cause infectious diseases to disappear from the earth.
The measure of a teacher is the fruitfulness of that which he first learns.
Since this lecture, gentlemen, is being delivered in the second half of the 20th century, I am obliged to substitute in place of clinical demonstration. Please prepare the slides for projection on the screen, Dr. Freeman. Dr. Freeman.
Oh, excuse me, Dr. Schick. I was thinking.
Oh, that's good. The slides?
They're ready.
So, I was about to say that nowadays there are so few cases of diphtheria that we have to teach it from pictures in textbooks. It has always been known that the disease is most common in children, for reasons which are now clear.
I was thinking of how it was when Bela Schick came to America, when hospital wards were seldom without a case of diphtheria, and he taught by clinical demonstration. But often, as I made the rounds with him, he also taught what cannot be found in any textbook.
The boy is doing well, Dr. Freeman. You see, I told you I would make you better, no?
Dr. Schick, there is still another ward to cover.
Yeah, do not worry, we will cover it.
You've already spent 15 minutes at this bed.
Oh, is that so long? Now, what did I do with my stethoscope?
You were using mine.
Oh.
Dr. Schick, I must tell you that...
That's a fine instrument. Thank you.
I think you ought to know that there's talk in the hospital.
Oh, about me? What, that I do not talk English so good, maybe?
Oh, that's true. I should speak it better by now.
No. It's being said that you spend too much time in the wards playing with the children.
Playing? I am administering medical treatment.
Come now, Dr. Schick. I saw you just now making shadows on the wall with your hands. Shadows of a kitten.
A rabbit.
Oh, whatever it was. But I certainly would not call it medical treatment.
No? Dr. Freeman, maybe you were so busy looking at me that you did not observe the boy.
Well, of course I did. He was laughing, naturally.
Well, I am not one to quote often from the Bible. I think it's in the book of Proverbs. A merry heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. That's sound medical advice. Oh, you do not believe me, eh? You think it is not dignified for a doctor to make shadows on the wall. Tell me, young man, you want to be a pediatrician, no?
You know I do, Dr. Schick.
A good one?
I do my best.
Then listen, to be a good pediatrician, it helps to be a little childish yourself. Well, let's go on.
Yes, sir. Now, the next bed is an unusual case.
Ah, the next bed case? Look with your eyes. This is not a bed, not a case. This is a child. A little girl separated from her mother. Sick, frightened. Oh, go away. I will examine her myself. Hello, sweetie. Who I am?
Every child knows who he is. He is a man who sees life as a tender thing and precious. He is also a civilized man who took on the responsibility of civilized men. And therefore, parents also came to know him through the articles he wrote, through the words he spoke to them on the radio.
The United States diphtheria record for 1927 was 100,000 cases with about 10,000 deaths.
He could be dispassionate with statistics, but not when he spoke of human life.
This means that 10,000 people died from a disease that could have been avoided. I think parents who know it is possible to prevent diphtheria and who nevertheless fail to have their children immunized take too great a responsibility on their shoulders.
It's a great honor, Jimmy. Dr. Schick has come to school to give all the children the test himself. Now, come on, Jimmy. Roll up your sleeve. It won't hurt.
No, Miss Teacher. Must not lie to a child. It will hurt, Jimmy, but only a little when I stick you with this needle. But you will not cry because you're a big, brave boy. You will forget all about it, and soon the doctor will come and look at your arm. If there is a redness, he will give you another injection, and then you will not catch the sickness. I promise you that... Well, what are you waiting for, Jimmy? It's all over, see? You didn't cry. Who's next?
Well, that's all, Dr. Schick. The whole class has been tested.
Good, then I'll go back to the hospital.
Oh, no, wait. That is, we have a surprise for you.
Oh, for me?
If you don't mind, I'll pin it on your coat for you.
Oh, such a big button. I cannot read it upside down. It says what?
It says, I am Schicked. Are you? All right, children. Turn around, all of you, and show the doctor.
Well, look, they all have buttons. So many Schicked children.
In Baylor Schick's study is an album with the signatures of a million children grateful for the gift of life. Mine is there, and perhaps yours.
Nowadays, there are so few cases of diphtheria that we have to teach it from pictures in textbooks.
The measure of a teacher is the fruitfulness of that which he first learns and offers to the world. He pointed the direction for an entire branch of medicine, pediatrics, and taught a generation of doctors, taught them not only how to treat the distempers of life, but also how to learn by themselves.
Well, Freeman, what do you want me to say?
Have you read the plan of the experiment I want to do?
Yes, I've read it.
Oh. You think it won't work?
Well, it's not how I would do it.
All right, I'll do it your way.
Why? What did I say?
I mean, I'm willing to accept your judgment.
I see. Freeman, did I ever tell you about my operation?
Oh, no, I...
Acute appendicitis. I diagnosed it myself. I arranged for surgery myself. Everything went fine. After the operation, on the table next to my bed, there was a little jar. I tell you, Freeman, it was the healthiest appendix I ever saw.
No.
Yes. You see, I can also be wrong. It's your experiment, no? Maybe it will work. Try it.
Well, even if I succeed, Dr. Schick, I don't know whether I dare
publish it.
No, why not, Dr. Freeman? Of course, publish your theory.
But suppose...
You see, there are only two possibilities. The first is that you may be right.
You really think so?
But if you are right, it is very likely that with the advancement of science, you will be proven wrong 10 years from now.
Oh.
The second possibility is that you are wrong from the beginning. That is, you are 10 years ahead of your time. Oh, you think I'm cynical, eh?
Thank you for listening, Dr. Schick.
Do not be offended, my friend. I only mean that we must not take ourselves too seriously. Our work, yes, but not ourselves.
If not himself, Bela Schick takes every other person seriously because he is a teacher. He teaches with a word, a look, with a finger laid lightly on a child's pulse.
A doctor should have a falcon's eye and a lion's heart and the hand of a girl.
And then, at the age of 65, he began to teach another lesson.
I have been here at Mount Sinai Hospital for 20 years. I will be sorry to leave.
We shall all be sorry. But it's a fixed regulation here. Compulsory retirement at 65. Many businesses and institutions have the same rule.
What if a person is not ready for retirement?
Your feelings are understandable, Dr. Schick, but
who is talking about my feelings? Just think. A young man goes to college, then to medical school, then he is an intern for a year or two, maybe a resident physician for another year or two. He begins to practice at 30, and after that it takes him 10 years to master his profession.
Come now, you know you're exaggerating, Dr. Schick.
No, I am only adding numbers, but you want to subtract. You want to make smaller the years of a man's usefulness, from 40 to 65, then finished.
We are not losing you entirely. You are still a consultant in pediatrics.
I tell you right now, I do not feel finished.
Of course not. I'm sure you have plans to enjoy your retirement.
Oh, you want to know my plans? First, I'm a consultant at Mount Sinai. I will be here. I will continue my experiments. I will continue my private practice. And I will not stop teaching. You understand, my friend? At 65, the brain does not retire. Was the last slide, Dr. Freeman?
Yes.
Then this concludes today's lecture, gentlemen. No one is leaving.
Well, we thought that you might say a few words, Dr. Schick.
Freeman, I have been speaking for more than an hour.
I mean...
I know what you mean. On my 80th birthday, I should say something of great wisdom. My gentlemen, let us make it another time. On the occasion of my retirement. But if I should say something, perhaps you will permit me to repeat the words of Hippocrates 20 centuries ago. Wherever the art of medicine is loved, there also is love of humanity.
I remember the words of the psalm, "Teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom." I say the words, and I know that the heart also needs instruction. And I am glad that I have found a teacher.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting from Washington, D.C., the Surgeon General of the United States Public Health Service, Dr. Leroy E. Burney. Dr. Burney.
In the early days of the germ theory of disease, it was generally assumed that when persons were exposed to disease organisms, one of two things happened. Either the person was not susceptible to the disease, and it therefore had no effect upon him.
Or he was susceptible, and he became ill. through the work of pioneer microbiologists, the discovery was made that man's reaction to disease could take another form. A susceptible person, it was found, could be infected but not become ill. His body could produce specific substances which protected him from the disease. And after this had happened, he had protection against any further assaults by that particular organism. This knowledge was valuable to the control of communicable diseases. But still, it was impossible to tell which people in a population had been infected in this way without becoming ill, and which ones had not been infected at all. Then the brilliant Dr. Schick developed a simple test which showed whether a person had protection against the toxins that caused illness in diphtheria. A whole new approach became possible in the study and control of this disease and of other infectious diseases as well. Public health workers have had continuing reasons to be grateful to Dr. Schick. He provided a tool which enabled them to work with notable success toward the conquest of a disease that killed thousands of children every year a generation ago, but that today causes fewer than 200 deaths a year. He opened up the way to study the epidemiology of diphtheria, its behavior in the human population, and through the insights gained in that instance, to study the behavior of other epidemic diseases. Today, as we close in gradually on our enemies in the world of microorganisms, as we find more ways to seek them out and head them off, we know that we have reached our present state of knowledge because of the genius and devotion of men like Dr. Schick. I know I speak for the world of public health in saluting him today with admiring gratitude.
Thank you, Dr. Burney. Our eternal light drama today, A Heart of Wisdom, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast was Stefan Schnabel as Dr. Schick, Guy Repp as Von Pirke, Raymond Edward Johnson as the doctor, Marion Carr as the teacher, Beatrice Pons as the mother, Herbert Duncan and Sam Raskin as hospital officials. The narrator, Dr. Freeman, was Roger DeCoven. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by Robert Sossman. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.